grace and mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is from Mark chapter 6. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Dear friends in Christ, in 2012, my hometown of Grenfell celebrated its 100th anniversary. And being a son of Grenfell, I was asked to preach at the interdenominational service held on the floor of the ice rink. The local pastors of the town of Grenfell were present, and they led portions of the liturgy, but I received the honor of preaching the homily. And I preached about our common roots as sons and daughters of Grenfell, and talked about the memories of my youth, Cub Scouts, Grenfell Regional Park swimming pool, skating rinks, the karate club, curling. I mentioned the people of my youth, some who were present and some who were not. They were part of my youth, part of my development. I mentioned Mr. Spiegelsbach as one of my Cub Scout leaders and many others, teachers, lifeguards, grocery store owners, friends, parents. I talked about how our common roots as people of Grenfell was grand, but also that we had a common destination that none of us could avoid, the grave. Our common residency of Grenfell had no bearing on our destination. And of course, you know the rest of the story. Belonging to Christ was and is the answer. And in Christ is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation. Citizenship in the city of God through Christ is truly the only thing to be celebrated amidst the celebration of Grenfell's 100th anniversary. If we were going to remember anything I told the people of Grenfell, we should remember Christ's death for the forgiveness of sins and his resurrection from the dead for the promise of our life everlasting. It was well received, I think. Mr. Spiegelsbach came back by after and found me and said, Si, I'm surprised you preached as you did. I thought he was referencing my theology of Christ alone, by grace alone, through faith alone. But he continued, I remember a skinny kid, uncoordinated kid, that couldn't spell very well. And this passage came into my head. It is only in his hometown that a prophet is without honor. In fact, I have officiated weddings and preached funerals in my hometown of Grenfell, and inevitably, someone will come up and say after these things, Little Si, I am Si Jr., I could not believe that that was you preaching. All I remember is that time I smashed your face in with the water polo ball at the pool, or the time you left in tears for my birthday because I hit you in the head with the frisbee, or the time that I pantsed you in gym class. There is a saying, familiarity breeds contempt. The people of my hometown, they knew me. They remembered me as a gangly, sinful, snot-nosed kid with freckles. And it's not surprising if the words that I preached did not penetrate. The hang-up for them was me. When Jesus goes back to his hometown of Nazareth, the hang-up for the Nazarenes is Jesus. When Jesus goes into his hometown, he goes into the synagogue and begins teaching. The people of the town were amazed at his teaching, asking amongst themselves, where did these teachings come from? And where does he get such wisdom? And how can miracles have occurred through those hands? This ordinary man that they knew so well, these teachings, wisdom, and miracles seem utterly beyond him. Truly, they think it is unbelievable, and they voice their opinion as to why it is unbelievable. One, he is a carpenter. This is not said as a compliment. In Jesus' time, carpenters or men who worked with their hands with wood or stone were often itinerant, moving from place to place and town to town to make a living, not being able to stay in one place to make a living. This life was seen as dishonorable, for like all nomads, they could not stay home to protect their family or to bring honor to the family of their house. They were often considered shameless persons, working for money and not staying within their own community to build it. And two, being a carpenter, Jesus had no formal theological training. He had no tutelage under any rabbi. Jesus' fellow Nazarenes ask about the source of his wisdom, for he could not have acquired it by himself or for himself. They finally wonder how he could do any miracles. They have seen Jesus since he was a boy. Can the hands that skipped stones across the water heal the sick? Can the boy who laughed and played with them as children drive out demons? What counts to these Nazarenes? Origins of their families, blood relations, inherited honor, social status, achievement of their family members, and the like. But Jesus is an itinerant carpenter, a son of Mary, a brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and even his sisters are married off and still in that town. There is nothing special about this guy. They cannot deny the wisdom or power of Jesus, but they also cannot solve the mystery as to how this townsman obtained these gifts. And so they go where sinners go when faced with the Son of God, when faced with God's wisdom or his mighty works. They go to unbelief. They knew Jesus only too well. They had never seen anything wonderful from him during his time growing up and all of the years of his youth. And now they cannot comprehend his astonishing present activity, which started after he left Nazareth. The familiarity with Jesus breeds contempt. As the text says, they are scandalized by him. This is just the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and his kinsmen will not be the first to be scandalized and reject him. Much of Israel will. The scribes and the Pharisees will. Many disciples and followers will. And finally, Peter and the disciples will scatter when he is nailed to the cross. To come into contact with Jesus, to recognize his word and his power, and then to reject it is fatal, because it is the same unbelief the people of Nazareth have that the people of the world have. Jesus responds to their unbelief by saying, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household." This is not a tactful response, but a sharp and cutting one. Jesus is saying, perhaps then outsiders are better at judging the honor of a prophet than those who know him best. In the Lucan account, after Jesus chastises his fellow townsfolk, Luke records this: "And they rose up and they drove him out of the town, and they brought him to the brow of a hill on which their town was built, so they could throw him off and down the cliff." Familiarity breeds enough content that in this case will lead to murder. But Jesus slipped away, because the irony is that Jesus had another hill to climb, one with a cross on his back. They wanted to kill him on that hill, but Jesus needed to die on a hill of the skull so he could pay for the sins of those townsfolk, for the sins of his kinmen, for the sins of Israel, God's chosen people, for the sins of the world, for your sins. And for mine. Everyone will have to confront Jesus in this life. He is the King of creation, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who holds the keys to death and Hades. But more than that, he is the Savior and Redeemer of this world, the one who took on flesh and lived and cried and bled and died for your sake, that you might be forgiven for all of your sins and have the promise of life everlasting. He who is rejected by his own people and kin has made you his brothers and his sisters by water and faith, that he might give you more than just a home or a town, but a kingdom and a house not built by human hands, when he comes again to take you home to be with himself. I was sitting in the hearse after I had done a funeral at Peace Lutheran Church in Grenfell for one of the Sunday school teachers of my youth. And there was a rap at my window. I rolled down the window and the woman said to me, "How are you, Cy?" "Good," I said. "It's nice to see you again," she said. "It's good to see you again," I said, not having any idea who this woman was. "You have no idea who I am, do you?" she said. "No, ma'am, I am sorry," I said. "I am Angie's mom, Mrs. Deriba." Then it all came back to me, of course. Mrs. Deriba, Angie was a school or a classmate of mine, and we had a few moments of small talk. Angie and her family were devout Catholics, and I was surprised to see her at a Lutheran funeral, but Grenfell is, after all, a small town. Mrs. Deriba said, "Cy, I think you Lutherans are on to something." Finally, I thought, a compliment was coming about my schooling or my preaching or my haircut, but she continued, "It's all about Jesus and what he has done for us, and not what we do." "That is it, Mrs. Dariba," I said. "It's all about Jesus and his work, his taking on human flesh, his death for the forgiveness of your sins, his resurrection from the tomb, giving you the promise of life everlasting." "Dear friends, I know you are used to my preaching, my face, I'm sorry, my delivery, my mannerisms, my idiosyncrasies. After 10 plus 1 years of the same preacher, you are familiar with me. So ignore me and hear my words, for they are from Christ himself. Your sins are forgiven in the death of Christ Jesus, and your salvation is secure in his resurrection from the dead. Rest assured, in Christ, you are but a stranger here, and heaven is your home. Thanks be to God. Amen." And now let us pray. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in and through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Hi, Pastor Cy here. I hope this message was encouraging for you. At Riverbend Lutheran Church, our goal is to support Christians in their daily walk with God and in proclaiming the love of Christ to a lost and broken world. We're a small and inviting congregation welcoming any and all who are sinful, hurting, seeking, or simply broken. Whether you're already a Christian and are looking for a church home, or you're undecided about your faith and looking for answers, you are welcome here. We have a number of programs for all ages and walks of life. Sunday mornings we have worship followed by educational programs for all ages. Please join us. For more information, you can visit us online at www.riverbendlutheran.com, call us at 780-430-7382, or email me at pastor@riverbendlutheran.com. Better yet, stop in for a visit. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace.